I am Tom Hunter Sr., and I'm your pastor's father, and it's a privilege to stand in his pulpit today, to see this great crowd today here, and I thank you for coming. My son he was our firstborn, and I asked my wife when he was born, do we have a pretty baby? I didn't know. Not all babies are pretty. In fact, most of them aren't. They're kind of wrinkled up, and their nose is all pugged up. But she said, oh, he was a beautiful baby. And then he kind of grew up, and he was a fine young man, and easy to raise, and smart. And see, what else did he tell me to tell you today? Oh, he was handsome. I forgot that one. Yeah. He's checking on me today. I told this little story in two identical services, so I have to repeat a little bit. And I told them the story, and they caught it. And early in the morning, they caught it. I don't know if you heard Dr. Bob Jones III tell this story or not, but my son's on vacation, but he told a little story about some ladies that went on vacation. And so they traveled. They traveled to California, and they drove from Ohio. I'm from Ohio. And so they drove from Ohio, and they got to California, and they needed some gas. And so they pulled in right away. As soon as they crossed the border, they stopped at the gas station. And it was back in the days when you had a gas attendant. How many remember the gas attendant? He's a nice guy, wasn't he? Washed your windows and all that kind of stuff. And so the gas attendant, he saw the two ladies and saw their license plates and saw they were from Ohio. And he said, we want to welcome you to our state of California. And he said, asked the ladies, said, now ladies, are you on vacation? They said, yes. They said, well, where are you headed? They said, well, we thought, first of all, that we would go down to San Jose. San Jose. The gas station attendant, he said, now, ladies, I could save you a lot of embarrassment if you'll just listen to my advice. Now, here in California, what we do is we pronounce all those J's as H's. And so instead of San Jose, it is San Jose. And the dear lady said, oh, thank you so much. We are so grateful that you told us about this as we travel your state. And then the gas attendant asked one more question. He said, well, let me ask you one more thing. Now, how long do you plan to stay in our state? And the dear lady said, well, we're planning on leaving sometime in Hoon or Hulai. And and today is Hulai the 9th. And I better get preaching so we don't end up on Hulai the 10th. So you need to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. Hulai. I'm going to preach to you today the greatest offer ever given to man. The greatest offer ever given to man, and it's free. You know, I don't know. I like that word free. My wife sends me over to Publix to buy something. I come back with bagfuls. Said, what'd you buy this for? Well, it's buy one, get one free. What'd you buy this for? Well, buy one, get one free. Every time I see the free sign, I want it. I will never use it, will never eat it, but I got it. Amen. And I usually put it in the bag at Thanksgiving time and give it to somebody else. I'm so spiritual. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read those verses about the greatest offer ever given to man, and it's free. Look in verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I come to you today and thank you for the privilege to stand in this pulpit today. I'm humbled and I'm blessed. I'm blessed to see what God is doing in this place. Lord, I tell people all the time, wherever the gospel is planted, it works. And Lord, it's going to work in Argentina. It's going to work wherever we take it. It's going to work here in America. It works here in Plantation. And I see it working. And God, I thank you for your mighty work. I thank you for your power. I thank you, Lord, that you are still in the saving business. I thank you, Lord, that you still offer that free gift to all mankind. And Lord, today I get the special privilege to stand up and preach it and to tell the gospel today. And Lord, I wouldn't want to do that in the flesh at all. I want to do that in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So I would ask the Holy Spirit of God right now to take complete control of my life and help me to say everything I should say for the glory of God. And those things I shouldn't say, may not say them for the glory of God. So Lord, I'm asking your great blessing now as we give our undivided attention for a few moments as we hear about this free gift, this offer to every man that's free, the greatest offer ever. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When you read these verses here today, there's no doubt that sin exists in this world. There is no doubt that sin and death are in this world. You know that? I know that. The Bible tells us. It is a fact. Romans chapter 3 says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all. If I use the word all, that's everybody in this room. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John 1:8 says this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So the Bible does teach that all have sinned. And all of us know that we're going to die. You're going to die someday and I'm going to die someday. Your pastor, my son, he has funerals all the time. I have funerals as well. I had one Thursday night and we had a funeral. And I reminded them, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. So you have your appointment. Everybody in this room has their appointment. God made it, and you're going to keep it, and I'm going to keep mine. And so I know that everybody is going has sinned, and I know that everybody is going to die. The question is why? Why? Why is this true? Why is it that people sin? Why is it that we do things we know that we should not do? Why is it that we have to teach our children to do right? I ask you this morning, why is sin in this world? Why do people have to die? Do you know the answer is found right here in these verses? We can answer those questions today from the Word of God. And I would ask you today to take your Bibles with me as I preach this sermon and point to you out the verses in the Bible that explain the reasons why there is sin and why there is death. It says in verse number 12, if you look at it very carefully, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world. That one man is Adam. We all know where that sin took place. We all know that sin took place in the Garden of Eden. And so the Bible says that sin entered. There was a time when there was no sin, but now we know that sin has entered into our world. And we know that death has entered into our world. And we know from Romans chapter 6, if you look at verse number 23, it says this, for the wages of sin is death. Now that could not be any plainer. That's God telling you and me that we are all sinners, and the paycheck that we have earned from being a sinner is we are going to die. And if you want to study it out, it's talking about two deaths. It's talking about your spiritual death and your physical death. But death. Now, it's not all that easy sometimes to understand about one man doing something that would have effect on everybody else after him. But we know the Bible teaches that. We know that Adam, he sinned, but that sin he committed and when it entered into this world and now has that effect upon everybody else who enters into this world. It says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 9 and 10, it says, Levi paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. And so when you trace it all back, I was in my father's loins. You trace the DNA, and I'm in my father's loins. He is in his father's loins. And you go all the way back, and eventually we're going to find all of us were in Adam. And so whatever has happened to Adam really happened to us as well. It would be like if I had a bowl of apples up here on the pulpit right here, and we had the bowl. And we were going to let Adam represent the bowl. And the bowl falls, but all the apples that are in the bowl, they're going to fall with it. Are you with me? Are we cooking on the same burner right now? And that's what Adam was. Adam sinned, and we were in Adam. So when Adam sinned, we all had that effect upon us too. Now what I need to show you, and I'm laying this little groundwork for a moment. I need to show you, and you need to follow with me, that there are two Adams in this world. You hold your hand in Romans, and you find the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Not too far away. Romans, I got 1 Corinthians. Look in chapter 15, next book over, chapter 15. Now, I need to show you two Adams because in the two Adams, you're going to find yourself. You're going to find the whole human race is summarized by these two Adams. Look, if you would, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we already know back in Romans, he's talking about wherefore is by one man, that's Adam. That's the one God created in the Garden of Eden, talking about that Adam. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look in verse 22. Are you with me now? Verse 15, 22. It says this, for as in Adam all what, class? All die. Even so in Christ shall all be what? Made alive. So we got in Adam, all die, and in Christ, who's the second Adam, all are made alive. Look in verse 45. Look in verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Look in verse number 47. It says in verse 47, the first man is of the earth earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And so we have these two Adams, and the Bible tells us again, in Adam, the earthy Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. So the Bible teaches there are two representatives of men. The first Adam, he's the representative of the head, hear this now, of a doomed humanity. That's Adam. The last Adam is the head of a delivered humanity. That's the two representatives of man, because there's only two kinds of people in this world. I look at everybody in this room, and you are either one of or the other. You are either a saved person or you are a lost person. That's the only two kinds of people in this world. And you know if you're saved and you know if you're still lost, but there's only two kinds. We're all sinners, the Bible says, but there are sinners and then there are saved sinners. By the grace of God. And then you're looking at one today who is a sinner saved by the grace of God. I hope I'm looking at you today as a sinner saved by the grace of God. But I'm going to take you now back to this book of Romans. And I'm going to go over the verses with you for a moment. And show you what it's like to be in the first Adam. And then show you what it's like to be in the second Adam. Now, if you're only in the first Adam, when I get done with my preaching today, and you find yourself only in the first Adam, you have opportunity to come and be in the second Adam through the new birth. Everybody's in the first Adam by way of a physical birth, but you can come out of that Adam into the second Adam by way of a spiritual birth in your life. And I have been praying in days in advance, and so is your pastor, that if you're here today and you're not saved, you would come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior today. Let's go to that first Adam now. The representative of a doomed humanity. Again, verse 12, it says, for as by one man, that's Adam. You know, Adam was a real person. Don't ever deny that. Adam was a real person. I trust you believe that because I trust you believe your Bible. You know, to say you disbelieve that would say you disbelieve God. You know, one thing I can never do is call God a liar. I just couldn't do that. I'm going to accept his word over any man's word. Amen. I'm going to accept God and what he says because he's God and he knows and he's not going to lie. You know, the Bible says over here in Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse number 4, he said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? He's talking about Adam and Eve. He made them male and female. You know something? God made us male or female. Now, we're living in a world today that thinks God made a mistake. You know, God didn't make any mistakes. Amen. Right. God made you. God made you a man. God made you a woman. That's God. He didn't make any mistakes. And if you want to know the problem with our world today, you just need to read the book of Romans, chapter number 1. And God's going to tell you right off why we're having such problems in our world and why people are doing what they're doing today. And it has to do with a reprobate mind. I just want to throw that out. But who could deny the existence of Adam? You know, some people try to. They deny the existence of Adam. And that's because we live in a world today that's dominated. I guess it's dominated by the theory of evolution. You know, I don't believe in evolution one bit. We have these so-called intellectuals today who claim that we evolved, there was some big bang or something like that. And I told them in the last hour that you can trace my heritage all the way back to Adam, but that's as far as you're going. I'm not going back to some tadpole. I'm not going back to some monkey. I can go back to Adam. Amen. But these intellectuals, Hollywood crowd, they all want to say that we evolved and man evolved and man is getting better and better and better. They ought to open up their eyes. They ought to check things out. I think it's getting worse and worse, don't you? Yeah, I think it's getting worse. You know, just read your newspaper. Yeah. Or move to Chicago if you want to. I don't care. But you'll find out it's not getting better. The Bible teaches just the opposite. The Bible teaches that God, from the dust of the earth, formed man, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. You know, if there was no Adam in the garden, then there's no fall. And if there was no fall, man didn't fall, then you don't need a Savior. And so what you've done is you have basically, when you stop and think about it, if you say there was no Adam and there's no fall, then you've basically effectively removed the need for a Savior. And therefore, there's only one Savior, that's Jesus. So you have effectively removed Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what the devil wants to do. That's what the devil is trying to do, and that's what the devil wants to do. He wants you to believe, and he wants your children to believe that you are evolving, that you're a good person. I don't know how many times. I'm still one of those old door knockers. I go out there every week, one day every week at least up there in West Palm Beach, and I go knocking on those doors, and I talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I guarantee that 90% of them, if I ask them, if you know you died today, would you go to heaven? They'll say yes, and I'll say, how do you know? And they'll say, I've been good. You have? What about your sins? You see, the devil wants you to think that you're good enough to get to heaven. Nobody's good enough to get to heaven. You know, if you were good enough to get to heaven, we could be good enough to get to heaven. Jesus could just stay in heaven. He didn't have to come and die. But you're not good enough to get to heaven. For all have sinned. Everybody's got sin in their life. And the wages of sin is death. And so don't let the devil make you think, oh, man, my life is good, and my good far outweighs my bad, and when I die someday, God's going to let me in because I've been a good person. No, God sees all that your righteousness as rags, as filthy rags. We think we're piling up all these good things to offer up to God, and God says, no, really all you're doing is piling up a bunch of filthy rags. You're not going to get into heaven through your good works. Don't ever think that. That's just the devil's lie. He's trying to get you to believe that and think you're good enough to get to heaven, but you're not good enough to get to heaven. You need a Savior. So Adam was real, and Adam sinned, and death and sin entered in this world. You know, when you stop and think about it, oh Adam, he was a sinner, and but he had this fall. He came into this world perfect. But now he is ruined. He is the representative of our humanity, man's humanity, and we have a ruined humanity today because of the fall. Now, he was a real person, but again, he was a ruined man. Verse 12, wherefore, by one man sin entered. Again, you can go back and read that story in the book of Genesis, and you can see all what happened there in the book of Genesis. And you know, Adam, let me tell you this. Eve was deceived by the devil, but Adam knew exactly what he was doing. You see, when God made him, he had a will. God didn't just make us robots. He could choose. And he could choose to do right. He could choose to obey, but he chose to disobey God. And sometimes in your thinking, you're thinking, well, what's so wrong with just eating a piece of fruit? That isn't so bad. Why did God tell Adam that in the day to eat thereof, you shall surely die? What's so bad about eating that one little piece of fruit? But you got to stop and think about it. Do you know this? That Adam did all the sin that he knew how to do. Wow. Adam did all the sin. That's the only sin he knew. That's all. He did all the sin he knew how to do. You know, my friend, you haven't done all the sin you know how to do, but you and I know how to do a lot of sin. That is true. Adam was our representative of the human race, and sin entered, wherefore by one man. Again, how does one man represent all of us? You know, when I was in high school, I used to play football. I played a lot of sports. I played football, basketball, baseball, got voted most athletic in my school. I was captain of the football team. And I remember going out on the field, and me and maybe another co-captain, and we would be out there, and another team had their co-captains out there, and we'd flip that coin and toss that coin, and referee would say, "All right, now do you want to receive or do you want to kick?" And we said, "We'd like to receive." So he'd point us over here, and he said, we were called the Milford Eagles, and he said, "The Eagles will receive the ball." You know what I was doing out there, class? I was out there representing my whole team. Yeah. And Adam's your representative. And he's my representative. Now that tells me a lot of things now. That tells me some, explains some things to me. For it says, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world. That means, that explains why everybody that comes into this world just has a natural tendency to do wrong. Those little babies. My son, when he came into this world, the Bible says this, he goeth forth speaking lies from the womb. Yours did too. He cried, he screamed like he was dying. I mean, he needed a doctor or somebody like that. And all you had to do is go over and pick them up and stops everything, does it not? Little liar. I think he still tells a few from this pulpit about me. I'm not really sure because anything he says bad about me is not true. You know, you don't have to teach your children to tell the truth because they just know how to lie. I reminded my son, I didn't know he did this. He told you this. I would have never told this. But he told you the story. How many remember the story he told you about him and Aaron when we grew up in that little neighborhood there and he started playing with the neighbor's kids and we let him play. It might have been the deacon's kids, I don't know. But he said, we're playing with those kids over there. And he said to Aaron, now Aaron, if we're going to play with these kids, we got to learn to cuss. Good night. Then I think he told you last time that that old dad here one day washed his mouth out with soap. Did he ever tell you that story? Did he tell you that? And for this day, he hates Tone soap because that's what we use. Now you can see I wasn't a perfect father. You're not supposed to do that. I bet he don't cuss no more. My daughter Amy, she was a big liar. A little kid, now she don't lie now, but she was a big liar. And a kid, mom would tell her, say, Amy, you are lying, I can tell. It's written all over your face. And he goes, it is, Mom. She thought for sure it was written on her because she knew she was found out and she was guilty. You know, hey, some of you school teachers in here, you teach school, you know nobody sends their kids off to school and say, would you teach my kid how to cheat? It reminds me of the football player. I heard this story of the football player and he needed to pass one course in order to make the team or to be on the team to play that week. And so what they did is they brought him to school and they set him next to the smartest kid in the class. And he just needed to pass that course. And so he's right next to that smart kid and they had to take a test that day. And it went something like this. Question number one, what is the capital of the state of Florida? Football player. The smart guy puts Tallahassee. Football player, Tallahassee. How many counties in Florida? I don't know how many there are, but smart guys, 67. Football player, 67. How many rivers in Florida? Smart man, I don't know. Football player, me neither. You didn't have to teach him that. You probably did a little bit yourself. I see the guilt all over your face. It's written all over your face. You don't have to teach them. You have to teach them control. You have to teach them to control that temper, do you not? You have to teach your children to give respect, do you not? You have to teach them to be the right kind of young man. Sin entered. But watch this now, watch this. Sin entered this world, but I'm going to show you the downward progression. It says in verse number 12, it says sin entered. But look at verse number 20. It says sin. You see it? Sin abounded. Do you see it in the Bible? Sin abounded. Look at verse number 21. It said sin hath, what's the next word? Reign. So we got sin entered. Now we got sin abounded. Now we have sin had reigned. Do you see the progression? Oh my. I see the progression of sin in our own nation. Do you not? I mean, look at this. Look at the beginning of America. And look where we're at today. You know, I think about the progression of sin. I see it in our schools today. You know, when I was in, I shouldn't tell you this. But if I was going to tell you, this is what I was going to tell you. I got lit up three times when I was in high school. Lit up, you know what I'm talking about when you get lit up. That board was about that long. It had holes in it. And they could light you up. And I remember, I got it one time for just talking to the girl in study hall, but she started the conversation. She should have took that whipping, but I took it for her. Next time I got a licking, I forgot my gym clothes for the third time. Well, my gym clothes could have walked to school probably. My mom was so sick, my mom never did the wash. She couldn't do it. We had six kids. Did you ever have a laundry closet? I mean, just, and everybody stuffs it in there. And I mean, when the door opens, it just springs out. And then we took a bed sheet. We put all those clothes in a bed sheet and tied it up in a knot, I did. And like Santa Claus, here I go with those clothes. I got to go through the kitchen. I remember, and there's a door that goes to the garage and finally to the basement. And I'm stuck. I'm stuck right in the middle of that door because that clothes are so fat, I can't get them all through there right now. And I got to go do that wash. Well, the gym clothes didn't get washed all the time, so he lit me up. And I got lit up the third time. I forget what it was about, but I'm sure it was somebody else's fault. But no, really, I'm having a flashback, and it was my fault. But we didn't do too much wrong in school back in those days. I mean, a few spit wads. Chew gum, got tired of it, you tossed it. Sometimes it landed in the girl's hair a little bit. I mean, nothing too bad. Once in a while, we just for fun, we'd set a tack on somebody's chair and watch them about halfway through class, figure out what's going on. And that was funny. That was really fun. But I don't recommend that. But it was funny. But today, do you see the progression? Those things are wrong, but today, a lot of times in some of those schools, especially in Michigan, you're going through a metal detector. I mean, some days they're going to carry a gun to school and they're shooting the kids in school, and now there's rape in school. Do you see the progression? Sin entered, sin abounded, sin's reigning. I see it in our nation. I see it in our schools. When I was 18 years old, I joined the military and I went to Vietnam. When I came home, I was just 1 year over there. 1969, did you see our nation change in 1 year's time? And I came home and I said, what in the world has happened to our nation? What has happened to America? Why are you living this way? Why are you smoking these drugs? You live in America, the greatest country in the world. Why are we going down like this? I couldn't understand it. But I could see the progression of sin. It entered and it's abounding. Sin. It's abounding today. And then it says, by the way, you want another example? Just look at your television. Hey, we used to watch I Love Lucy. We used to watch Lassie. Three Stooges. Probably shouldn't have watched that, but it still was funny. Slapping each other. Oh my. You see the progression? You can't even watch your TV today. We have a TV, but we can't turn it on. We have a TV guardian, and you should have a TV guardian. It cuts out any word that unexpectedly comes up, but we don't watch any of those TV shows. We don't watch any of those sitcoms. Those sitcoms that are going to laugh at Christianity and mock mom and dad. We don't watch any of that stuff. You see the progression of it? Wow. Sin. Sin bounds. It reigns today, does it not? Sin reigns. When you think about it, you look at our world today, the progression of it, sin seems to be reigning in America today and in our world. Not only did sin reign, sin entered, but death entered. death entered. Verse 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. You're going to die. You don't think you are. You think you have forever. But it's going to happen. You see, death is not only an event. Death is power. Look at verse 14. It says this. Nevertheless, death reigned. That's power. That's power. You know, we all try to prevent it, do we not? That's why a lot of you guys, you're over there at the gym. You're working out. We got this work craze today, and everybody's going to the gym. And I just quote the Bible verse over there in 1 Timothy, which says, bodily exercise profiteth little. That's how I do it. But you're over there and working out and trying to live a long time, and that's good. I'm all for that. I'm for working out. Listen, I'm for keeping that body in shape so I can use my body for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want health. But everybody's thinking they're going to live so long. And, you know, nowadays, I don't know. I heard somewhere that they have this little pill you can take nowadays. And just, you don't have to exercise or anything. Just sit in your office and come out sooner or later looking like Charles Atlas. I'm thinking about doing that. I don't know. But you think you're going to try to fight it. You think you're going to live forever. I got reminded one time when I was putting a sermon together, I thought about that Amish man, and he had gone to the city, the big city, never been to the big city, and he saw the elevator, and you probably heard this, and there was an elevator over there. He'd never seen an elevator before. And he saw this little lady, she had her cane, and she's elderly now, and she's kind of wrinkled up and everything, and she got in the elevator, and she no sooner got in there, and all of a sudden the doors opened back up, and this beautiful blonde walked out. And the man said, hurry up, go get mother. We think we're going to live forever, be beautiful forever. I did that funeral on Thursday night. They showed the video of that lady's life. She was beautiful growing up. She was a beautiful lady. And they showed it all the way to the end. And I saw nothing but wrinkles and skin and bones. She died. You got to die. I'm going to die. The good news is Jesus died, was buried, rose again and conquered that grave and conquered that. And now the Bible says he has the keys. So one day I know the keeper and he's going to get me out. But I know one day I'm going to die. You know, there's one other thing that entered. Look in verse number 12. Wherefore is by one man sin in the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men. Not only did death enter, but also judgment entered. Judgment. You know, when you stop and think about it, one day, in Adam, you're going to stand before the judgment seat. There's judgment. The Bible talks about it over in the book of Revelation. Talks about, he writes this. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. One day, dear people, if you're unsaved, you're going to stand before God. You're going to die and stand before God at that great white throne judgment. And all I can tell you is the books are going to be open. And you're going to see why you don't get to come to heaven. But there is that judgment. Sin abounded. Death reigned. Judgment is coming. Not a very pretty picture of our family that's in Adam. Not a very pretty picture at all. But I'm going to give you a pretty picture now. If you give me just a few more moments of your time, I want to show you a better picture. If you would allow me to show you the last Adam, Jesus Christ, the head of a delivered humanity. Watch it in verse 17 now. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more. You know, Jesus Christ, he's the last Adam, but he has come into our world and he is offering you something. He is offering you something that's much more. You see, when Jesus Christ came into this world, the Son of God, he came in and he's going to undo what Adam did. He is coming to this world and he's going to regain for us what Adam lost. This is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, the Bible talks about him living that perfect life, that righteous life, that obedient life. And Jesus Christ lived an obedient life, the Bible says, even unto death. Adam fell into sin, but Jesus lived that totally perfect life. Thank God for that. Because without that perfect life, he could not be our Savior. But he lived that perfect life. He was obedient all the way to the cross. And you know what God did? God accepted his payment for my sin. He took my sin, my place, and he paid my penalty for me. And when he died, God accepted his payment for me. Now, because of his obedience, God is able to offer. Now, hear this. God is able now to offer you a most wonderful gift. I want to show it to you. Look in verse number 18. He said this. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came, that's Adam, upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Listen to me. Jesus Christ has come, the last Adam, and he wants to offer everybody in this world justification. What a big word. Maybe you don't even know that justification. If I could just tell you simply, it has to do with forgiveness of your sins. It has to do with the fact that Jesus Christ, what he did when he died on that cross, he bore all your sins that were poured upon him. And when you put your faith and trust in him as your Savior, what God does, he'll impute to you. He'll put the cloak on you. He'll clothe you in his righteousness. And now you are robed in the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. And now God looks at you and says, I see you as justified, washed in the blood, just as though you never sinned. And I'm going to tell you today, if God offers that to you, and he does, he offers it as a free gift, how could you turn that down? When you know the wages of sin is death, and you know you're going to die, and you know you're going to face the judgment, why would you stay in Adam when you could come over to the last Adam and receive justification in your life? Wow. It's mind-boggling to me. He not only offers you justification, he says, because Jesus Christ lived that perfect life and died in your stead, I'm going to offer you grace. He offers you grace. The grace of God. Do you know what the grace of God is? You can't get saved without the grace of God. It's the unmerited favor of God. It's God giving to you what you do not deserve. He wants you to have his grace. When you stop and think about the grace of God, you know, God wants you to experience this wonderful grace that will meet your every need. The grace of God that will be sufficient for you to whatever you're going to experience in life. He says, I'm offering you my grace. And then he says this. He says, I'm going to offer you one other thing. He says, I want to offer you the life of a king. The life of a king. Look in verse number 17. It says this. For as by one man offense death reigned, by one much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign. Listen, dear people. God wants to give you a wonderful, abundant life where you reign in life. I hope you understand that. He means that you can live where you life like a king in this world. You don't have to live down in the scum anymore and the slime anymore in your life and the bondage of sin. You can receive the grace of God and be set free from all that bondage and live like a king. Do you know a king? A king has all of his needs met. A king, you see how the king lives? God says, I'm going to give you a life, Tom, where you could live as a king. Because you see, when you take Jesus Christ into your life, you get Jesus and you get everything Jesus is. And when you take Jesus into your life, you get everything that Jesus has. So whatever you need, you have it in Christ. Hey, listen, when you get Jesus, you get eternal life. When you get Jesus, you get his presence. When you get Jesus, you get his power. When you get Jesus, you get his wisdom. When you get Jesus, you get everything he has. If you're out there today and you're a Christian and you're living a defeated life and your life is not victorious, it's all because you're just not appropriating what God has for you that day. Because he wants you to live in this world. And he offers you the grace to get through every day. You don't have to go blow your brains out. You don't have to go take the smoke your weed and get all high and have a way of escaping your life. No, you have the grace of God given to you to make it through life. Wow. What a gift he offers to you and to the world. He offers justification. He offers grace. He offers a life of a king. The man was a rich man. It was back in World War II, and his hobby was to collect art. He traveled the world collecting the art, and he put this art up in his home. They said his home looked like a museum. War broke out, and his son got drafted. His son had to go to war. He received a note one day that said that his son was missing in action. Not long after that, he got another note that said, "We found your son, but your son was killed in action." He lost his life saving one of his comrades. The old man wept bitterly when he heard the news, and he said he never had a good day after that. One day, a knock came to his door. Another young man showed up, and this man had a rolled-up canvas under his arm. And he said to the old man, he said, "Sir, I know you don't know me, and I really don't know you, but I know your son. I'm the one he died saving. When I got shot, he saved my life. Sir, I've been in a hospital for several months, and I'm no artist, but while laying in that hospital bed, with your son's face so fresh in my mind, I drew this portrait of your son, and I brought it to give it to you. I don't know if it'll bring you much comfort or not, but I want to give it to you." The old man unrolled the canvas, and he could see the likeness of his boy, and he thanked the young man, and he gave him a meal that night and a place to sleep, and the young man left the house the next morning, never to see the old man again. Before he left, he said to the young man, he said, "I promise you, with all this art, I'm going to put your picture of my boy over the first fireplace mantle. And there among the great art pieces of the world, there was his picture. And he would sit there and he would just look at his son, that picture." Finally, the day came. The old man died. The old man died, and he had a will, and he had written in his will, he said, "I want all my art to be sold." So they were going to have an auction that day, and the auctioneer comes, and first picture he holds up to sell was the picture of the boy, of the son. And the auctioneer told the people, said, "Now the first picture is the picture of his son, because it was written in his will by his father that would be the first picture that he wanted to be sold." And all the people began to say, the auctioneer said, "Can somebody give me 100? Somebody give me 50. Nobody answered. Somebody yelled out in the back, come on, let's get on with the auction. We want to get to all those Rembrandts and all those other expensive portraits. No, I got to sell this picture first." The gardener raised his hand. The gardener said, "I gave you $10. $10. Okay. The auctioneer stood in front of the people and he said to the people, "The auction's over now." "What do you mean, the auction's over?" "Well, the old man wrote in his will, he that takes my son gets it all. You take Jesus, you get it all. You get his justification. You get that. You get his grace. And you get to live a life of a king." Amen. Shall we pray?